everyone. Thanks a million for coming. And well done to Fiona. We also published Fiona's book there. We call it The Grimoire. It's a fancy name for a chapbook. We always hate the word chapbook, so we thought we'd make it nicer. So Grimoire is what we came up with. It's actually a book of magic, which I think poetry is really. You know, I'm talking of magic. This is PB5. It's the fifth edition of the Poetry Plus magazine, but it's the only independent, truly independent magazine in Ireland. I think it's a very, I mean, self-praise is no praise, but this is a very special magazine, and I think you should all buy it. But that's what I'm trying to say, basically, is everybody buy this magazine. It's 132 perfect bound pages of the best Irish and international poetry. We publish more first-time poets than any other magazine. And if anybody's looking for change in the poetry world, this is being the change. This is the change in book format, and I encourage you to support it as best you can. But then I would, wouldn't I? And this is my own book, Jewel, from Salmon Poetry. It is the best-selling book by Salmon, even though I'm a little shit on the outside. It's outsold everybody else, and well, there you go, these things happen. Thank you. Again, self-praise is no praise. That's the only fucking praise I get. I'll read you a title poem from Jewel, and then I'll introduce you to some of the PB poets. Along Capel Street, I stumble into Slattery's and stagger out again to be sure I have my wits. What the hell have they done? Is nothing sacred? Is anything safe from their grandiose renaissance? A curse on them, where they are. I barrel onto the quays, singing or talking to myself, struggling to reinflate between bursts of song, filled with stupid elation and fuel on pints of stout. I gaze wide-eyed and blowing at the newfound beauty of herself, Anna Liffey, spanned by an arch the whiter shade of pale. Her waters are expressive, fecund and inviting. With undulating warm open arms of green, she calls to me in clamshells of desire. Wanting to be smothered within, and Jesus bursting for leak, I express myself, let fly the floodgates, a stream of pea to the pea green below, relief and satisfaction in equal measure. They'll never take the piss out of Dublin. first up, because he's the only one I can actually physically see, is Phil Lynch, and he's in PB5. And as soon as he gets his act together, we'll have him up here. But again, please contribute and support this magazine as best you can. We don't get any Arts Council funding. We don't get any leg up from any establishment people. They don't like us. But I think that's because we're doing a really good thing. And if people buy it or they don't buy it, it's there, it'll exist. It'll be a legacy. And that's all that matters, really. But if you buy it, you'll love it.
So, how much is it?
It's €10. But it's
it's worth it.
And you get a CD is brilliant. There's a group called the Be Loud Glade that specialises in Yeats poetry and things. They've done a lovely music track of the Innisfree, and then there's a performance poet who's the original performance poet called Noel Sweeney, who's doing kind of Rastafarian rap kind of stuff long before it got trendy. He's on there too. As I say, there's international poets, international artists, and I'm very pleased with it. But then I would be. Anyway, thanks a million.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Father, and I'm delighted to have a few lines in this new publication, PB5. Father and his other better half is doing great work with this stuff, so yeah, I would encourage you to buy it as well. Why not? So I think he said 132 pages, so about a third of a page in it, so I'm going to do that.
Quality, not quantity, Bill.
Yeah, I wonder. Anyway, it's called Listen, but it's, you know, we're a nation of talkers, but lately, I think, in the last number of years, maybe even longer, maybe lost the art of listening a bit. I heard Roddy Doyle do a talk, or I heard an excerpt from a talk he did in New York last year, the year before, and he was talking about New York being the city that never sleeps, and he says, yeah, I come from Dublin, the city that never shuts up. Which, that's, you know, hearing it there, not to do with this, it's called listening. Everyone's talking about something. They all know where it's at, but nobody's saying the right thing. Everyone's sure of that. That's it. I'm going to do just a longer one now, and it's called Gathering. It's recession related. Gathering. In the faces, in the feet, on country road, in city street, the aftershock, the disbelief, the living through each other's grief. A rumbling rises deep below as sorrow into anger grows. It screams inside, kills dreams inside. It feels like something's going to blow. Fear is the force that stalks the land. It takes its toll in ways unplanned, in back rooms and in bedrooms, in the faces, in the feet, on country road, in city street. Endless days of sunless skies, departure tears, bleak goodbyes, empty shells with padlocked gates, stark monuments to failed debates. New shadows cast a deeper shade as diggers with their busy spades and shovels work at turning clay. The ghosts from these forlorn estates will haunt the consciences of those whose actions are disgraced. The scavengers will swoop to pick the fleshless bones until they find the faintest crack through which to suck the marrow dry. Gamblers lay their final bets. The odds are stacked against success. The days of risk, of recklessness, turned into nights of restlessness. Walking nightmares, waking dreams, from which it seems there's no escape. There's no escape. In the faces, in the feet, on country road and city street, the spectre that there's worse to come beats louder, louder than a drum. Who will feed the moving flock, displaced from pastures, still in hock to heartless bastards taking stock? Who will sow the tillage field? Who will buy the harvest yield? Who will ring the funeral bell? Who will have the strength to tell the orphans of a generation how their nation's brightest brains, befuddled by such greasy greed, fail to act, then fail to lead? Blinded by their own reflections, they lost their way, they lost respect. Their faulty minds could not predict, could not prevent, could not protect. In the faces, in the feet, on country road, in city street, who will now a leader be? Who will bear their necks beneath the guillotine of vile disdain? Who will be the judge to rule on when the legal and the evil are the same? Then what to do? Balladeers and bards, busy shaping words, artists throw their palettes at canvases absurd, tears upon a landscape, the vision badly blurred. The times are rearranging, but will they really change? Past is not as simple as is sometimes meant to seem. Let voices call for truth throughout, for truth can lend a hand. But let the future road be built by those who understand the old one that they criticize, the new one that they plan. So cue the music, clear the stage, let play begin again. In the faces, in the feet, on country road, in city street. Yes, let the play begin, in the faces, in the feet of country road in city street. So, thank you very much. Just finish on a very short one, a little more optimistic, because no matter wherever things bad are, it's important to try and appreciate what we have in the moment, and try and find some contentment with that. So, this is called In the Moment. Sometimes we miss the beauty of the bareness or the roots because we want to smell the flowers or taste the first fruits. Sometimes we miss the silence that says more than any words because we want to hear the noise that leaves our senses blurred. So catch and kiss this moment. It will never come again. Thanks very much.
very much. And next from PB5, Sheila Mannix.
Thanks very much. I think I'm going to be echoing Phil quite a lot. The first poem I'm going to read is in five sections. It's very long, so I'm only going to read three poems, because this is the equivalent of five. I recently had to brush up on my Irish, so I got out learning Irish from the library, a book and a set of CDs published by Harvard University Press, which was full of wonderful phrases and expressions and individual words. So this is a collage poem from that book. It's called Ireland Learning Irish. One. There aren't any doors at all here. There are neither men nor children here. Isn't there any lamp? There is no lamp at all. There is neither a door nor a lamp here. There is a picture, a paper, a book, and tables here. Paul Jean's boat is there, and there is a map here. Neither the people of America nor the people of England are satisfied now. The farmers of Kerry are not pleased, and the farmers of Connemara are not content either. There are lots of countries on the map. Cod, where is England? There is a big window there. Dermot, there is a nice woman, and a priest, a big farmer, and another tall Irish person here. Perhaps there is another one there. We are here again. It is wonderful. There will be lots of cars and buses on the roads, but there won't be many trees. There are big trees and nice fields here now, but there will be houses here. There used to be cows and horses here, but now there aren't many at all. Some of the people were sitting in the corners playing cards. More of them were standing in the middle of the room, boasting about the match. Somebody burned a hole in the curtain. The child was ruined. When the soldiers and the guards go away, we will clear off home. Martin's hand is on the glass. Are you satisfied with the nation? There were many rich people here. Oh, now, the poor thing. It is cold here again. There are sheep on the hill, ladies and gentlemen. The door is there, and the keys are on the table. Two. I saw the man who broke the window. I saw him this morning. The man who broke the window, I saw him this morning. Dreaming again about death, wanting his share of food. There is motion under him. There is a flurry under him. The glass is easily breakable. That is the thing that can be done. Three. Bird on the stone, a female foal, Boston, country people closing a grave, blossom of the bush, the white book, a cuckoo's egg, bending a rod, bank of a lake, the widow's son, the kitchen table, the night of the big wind, top of the hill, the yellow gate, light of the sun. Four. The sun might be shining, and tomorrow it could be raining or snowing. You wouldn't know what would happen. Five. The book is red and the chair is broken. The table is split as a result of the sun. Both walls and roof are broken. The potatoes are ruined. This room is darker. This room is darker. The darkest room is here. The boat is too old and the horse is too young. The growth is not good here. I see the man who is not content. They used to be content. Yes, they used to. This room is darker. This room is darker. The darkest room is here. there is sorrow on me. It will be hard to stay here tomorrow. I have to drink milk. There is neither pen nor paper in my room. Thank you. This is the poem that's in PB5, and thank you very much for publishing it, Padder. And thank you for inviting me to read here tonight, and also for hosting the event. Thank you very much to Unveil. It's my first time here, and I'm very glad to be here. It's my hometown. This is called The Ways of the Inspectorate. In Santa Fe, Mexico, the government inspector brought a small library with him. He asked readers to imagine a troop of audacious hypocrites gaining power and ruling through misinformation, exercising tyranny under the mask of liberty. While the government inspector spoke to the neatly uniformed children inside, a large crowd of less well-dressed boys gathered to watch through metal gates protected by armed guards, culminating in a mind-bending, mescal-induced massacre. The ways of the inspectorate are famously opaque. This is the last poem. It's called A Letter from Phineas the Prophet. Jim, please come. I have nobody to talk to about subjectivity and hermeneutic communism. The only person I see is an old witch who steals my food. Bran was poisoned, out in the fields. The railway has rusted. The factories have rusted. There are hundreds of new apartments, empty and rusting. The mental hospital is the biggest employer in town. The latest plan is to dump hazardous waste on us and destroy the river they call the Irish Rhine. Seamus is off earning blood money, as usual. He's in Papua New Guinea building stairs for a new Hilton. Type Papua New Guinea into Google and the first thing you get is cannibalism. There's only one change. Shem drove his car into a telegraph pole instead of going over the cliff. Everyone wonders now if he was gay. The father is hooked on documentaries about Hitler. He doesn't believe in multiculturalism. He still doesn't believe in feminism. Ireland is having a second Gaelic revival. The new kinder culture makers are doing it os Gaeilge. Yoga teachers are learning Irish in the hills of West Cork. They're translating Russian Dadaists. Believe me, I'd love to live in a land of saints and scholars. But I only remember two words of Irish, and they sound like German. Och, fluk. I see rice sacks and blue helmets. I see a new Kathleen Ihulahorn. I see snipers in the windows of ghost estates. Why is English spoken in the past conditional? I would have thought a lot about this. The Irish are still waiting for their republic. All they got so far is the 120 days of Sodom. The church, state and nobility formed the first troika. Now capitalism's carriage is trampling us underfoot. We'll see famine again. I'm not being paranoid. 2 weeks without imports and Ireland starves. There's a quota of bicycles and dictators in the world. China is embracing the car and getting rid of all its bicycles. And what's happening to Europe? We're being flooded with bicycles. All the dead dictators of the Middle East will be reborn in Europe, or I'm not Phineas the Prophet. Thank you.
most enjoyable. And now I'll introduce to you the last poet of the PB5, Michael Ray.
Thank you, Pada, for publishing this. This might be a poem about the existential crisis facing furniture in the time of global warming, but it might also be about a very complicated relationship, I'm not quite sure. The wingback. I found it floating in the river. A missing wing exposed a pepper, a blued tacks. Its casters rusty, legs quite furred. The springs creaked as I fished it out. Torn upholstery revealed a tangle of bridle ties, horsehair, and poking from its seat, the examiner. Our neighbour's name penciled along one soggy edge. Its front page was all about the day the river broke, filled homes and shops, and a local artist's sketch, most astonishingly beautiful in pen and ink, shaded with visiting newsprint from page 2. Back to front stories by local residents about their ladderbacks and Windsor carvers migrating south amongst the torrent of flotsam and double-coated visitors bobbing down the high street in brightly coloured clinker boats. We called our neighbour up, asked if by any chance he'd lost a chair. Not lost, he said, more escaped, and always uncomfortable to be around. It had broken free, floated off. No, he didn't want it back. I knew once dry it would stand and warranted repair, so bought a goose and wrung her neck. She gave us several suppers and a fine sack of feathers. The down I stuffed into the damaged seat, patched the gash left by the missing wing, covered the arms and back in several layers of white pointers. Last year, when autumn pulled up outside, the chair became restless. Even tethered by a length of rope, it would levitate in our front room. Tired of painting over scratches on the ceiling, I cut it loose, watched it scuttle out the door, hover just above the orchard, then flap away lopsidedly. This spring, it returned to nest in our beech tree by the river.
Yeah!